Just you can use chairs if the knees are sore. You can just use a chair as well. You don't have to sit, but just make sure the back is not towards the heart. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. While thus engaged in thinking in the water, Brahmaji heard twice from nearby two syllables joined together. One of the syllables was taken from the 16th and the other from the 21st of the Sparsha alphabets. And both joined to become the wealth of the renounced order of life. Purport. In Sanskrit language, the consonant alphabets are divided into two divisions, namely the Sparsha Varnas and the Talavya Varnas. From Ka to Ma, the letters are known as Sparsha Varnas, and the 16th of the group is called Ta, whereas the 21st letter is called Pa. So when they are joined together, the word Tapa, or penance, is constructed. This penance is the beauty and wealth of the Brahmanas and the renounced order of life. According to Bhagavad philosophy, every human being is meant simply for this tapa and for no other business. Because by penance only one can realize his self. And self-realization, not sense gratification, is the business of human life. This tapa or penance was begun from the very beginning of the creation. and it was first adopted by the Supreme Spiritual Master, Lord Brahma. By tapasya only can one get the profit of human life, and not by the polished civilization of animal life. The animal does not know anything except sense gratification in the jurisdiction of eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy. But the human being is made to undergo tapasya for going back home, back to Godhead. When Lord Brahma was perplexed about how to construct the material manifestations in the universe and went down within the water to find out the means at the source of his lotus seat, he heard the word tapa vibrated twice. Taking the path of tapa is the second birth of the desiring disciple. The word upa shrinot is very significant. It is similar to upanayana, or bringing the disciple nearer to the spiritual master for the path of tapa. So Brahmaji was thus initiated by Lord Krishna, and this fact is corroborated by Brahmaji himself in his book Brahma Samhita. In the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma has sung in every verse Govinda Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Thus Brahma was initiated by the Krishna mantra, by Lord Krishna himself, and thus he became a Vaishnava, or a devotee of the Lord. Before he was able to construct the huge universe, it is stated in the Brahma Samhita that Lord Brahma was initiated into the 18-letter Krishna mantra, which is generally accepted by all devotees of Lord Krishna. We follow the same principle because we belong to the Brahma Sampradaya, directly in the disciplic chain from Brahma to Narada, from Narada to Vyas, from Vyas to Madhva, from Madhva to Madhavendrapuri, from Madhavendrapuri to Ishwarapuri, from Ishwarapuri to Lord Chaitanya, and gradually to His Divine Grace, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati, our Divine Master. One who is thus initiated in the disciplic succession is able to achieve the same result or power of creation. Chanting of this holy mantra is the only shelter of the desireless pure devotee of the Lord. Simply by such tapasya or penance, the devotee of the Lord achieves all perfections like Lord Brahma. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadaya Dadati Swadhavatikam Panchakalpatu Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Bi Eva Chapititanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadata Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare. So it's an interesting part of the Bhagavatam. We're going back to the beginning of the universe. Bhagavatam deals with events and time frames which are going back into the deepest regions of the universe, or the deepest amounts of time in terms of universal time. At this point in time, modern history is only dealing accurately to some degree going back 2,000 or 3,000 years. They have an idea of history for the last 2,000 or 3,000 years, but when you go beyond 2,000 or 3,000 years, everything becomes quite obscure. They're not sure what takes place. Even 2,000 or 3,000 years, they're not entirely sure. The facts are not. Just like when you look at the horizon, you're looking straight, but the earth is curved. So we look at the horizon, but then because it's curving, we only see a distance, and then it goes off. And we're not sure what is beyond that. So just like in the past, now we know the world is a globe, it is a ball, like that. So we understand how it works. But previously, only 200 years ago, or 300 years ago, they thought the world was flat. It wasn't very long ago. And they thought if you sail in a boat over the ocean, you hit the edge and then you'll just fall off. And they actually thought that. So Christopher Columbus, he went to discover America. And many people said to him, don't do it. You know, if you go into the ocean, you'll hit the edge and you'll just go. You won't come back. He said, no, the world is round. It's not like that, it's round. So when we look at the horizon, we're seeing it goes and then suddenly it dips. And after it dips, we don't know what is there. So the same is with time in the modern world, history. Right? They look back in history and it gets to a point and then it just dips and they've got no idea what happened. And everyone speculates. So then, this is the problem with the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul has four defects. Now, what are our defects? Brahma, Pramada, Vipralipsa, Karana, Patata. This means we have imperfect senses, we make mistakes, we're in illusion, and cheating propensity. So, in one sense, all of us have four defects. What is the beginning of it? Of the four, which one is the principal or the primary?
Wrong.
One with
illusion.
Wrong. Illusion. Illusion is first. Illusion comes first. That is the principle. Not always, but basically that's the principle. That's our defect. Right? We're in illusion. We're in Maya. Hands up if you're in Maya. Our Maya means illusion, right? We are in illusion. One time, I've told many times, Giri Raj Maharaj, he was walking on the beach in Juhu with Prabhupada. And he's walking next to Prabhupada and he said, they're having a discussion, a conversation. And Giri Raj Maharaj said to Prabhupada, he said, oh, Prabhupada, I'm sorry, I made some mistake. I was in Maya. And Prabhupada put his cane into the ground and looked at him and said, you are always in Maya. And Prabhupada just kept walking. And Giri Raj Maharaj was shaking. Prabhupada said, you are always in Maya. We don't know any different. We only know Maya. Prabhupada said, we've been in Maya since time immemorial. We can't even remember when we came into Maya. It's been so long. We're used to it now. Now we think this is normal. This is not normal. We are not normal. You're not normal. We're not normal. This is not the way we should be. We should be pure. We should be Jivara Swarupa Hoy Krishnara Nitya Das. We should be eternally serving Krishna. That is our constitutional position. We are Krishna's servants. But at this point in time, we're in Maya. Nitya Bada means we've been so long in Maya we forgot Krishna. And now we just think this is normal. But this is not normal. So we're in Maya. What is Maya? Maya is that which is not. Right? Maya means something which is not. In other words, you think there is happiness where there is actually distress. Right? And you see the whole world is in Maya. The whole world, human society is in Maya. Right? So they think there is happiness, but there's no happiness in that place. Where do they think there is happiness in this world? Everyone thinks there is happiness in sense gratification. But there is not happiness in sense gratification because Krishna already said in the Gita, the happiness you get from sense gratification, it is nectar in the beginning, that's why everyone does it, but it is poison in the end. Does anyone here know what I'm talking about tonight? No? Can you relate to what I'm saying? It gives you happiness in the beginning, but in the end it only gives you suffering. No? That is called illusion. But because we are in Maya, we keep doing the same thing. Right? Prahlad Maharaj says you are chewing the chewed. Right? Already you've done it. It's all finished. Prabhupada gives the example, sugar cane. So you get sugar cane, you chew it and chew it, and there's nothing left in it. No sweetness, so you throw it away. But then the cow comes and the cow grabs it and he goes, tries to get something. And then he spits out nothing left. And the crow comes and the crow gets it and he goes, so this is modern materialistic society. Everyone thinks, I can get something out of it. Right? Even though I was kicked in the face last time I did it, but I'll do it again. Because for that little bit of pleasure, I will take the kick in the face. This is called illusion. It is Maya. So then, because we're in illusion, what is the second phase? There are four. Illusion, imperfect senses, cheating, and... So what is it? What comes after illusion? What is the order, generally? Imperfect senses, right? Because you're in illusion, then your senses must be imperfect. Our senses are imperfect. Right? Are your senses perfect? Ishroham hambogi sidoham balavan suki. Sidoham means I am perfect. Right? Everyone thinks like this. I am perfect. Right? We're not perfect. Right? Because our senses are imperfect. And if you want to make progress in spiritual life, you need humility. Dainya. You have to admit you are not perfect. That's when you start making advancement. When you think you're perfect, right? Then you can't make it. Progress. So everyone in this world, it's the disease of the conditioned soul, we think we are perfect. We think our senses are not imperfect. But our senses are useless. Just like I heard the other day, I can't remember the news or something, then the scientists said they have found one star millions of miles away and it is very similar to Earth. So that means there could be life just like on Earth. But that star, which is millions of miles away, how do they know? Their senses are imperfect. How do they know? They don't even know what's going on this planet. They don't know what's going on. They can't even find this plane. It took them 18 days to work out they were in the wrong ocean. Right, they're up here and they realize, oh no, the plane's down there. Imperfect senses. But we are so intelligent. I will tell you that star, see that star, which is millions of years, it's just like Earth. Oh, you mean that one? No, that one. Just like Earth. That one's like Mars, and that one's like Saturn, and that one's like the moon, and that one's, how do you know? You know nothing. Prabhupada was sitting there, right, giving his lecture, and devotees were here, and Prabhupada said there are eagles which fly through the space, and they come down to Earth, big eagles, fly through space in between planets, they come down to Earth, they pick up elephants, and they drop the elephants into the mouths of their baby eagles. And at the end of the lecture, Prabhupada said, any questions? And one devotee put his hand up. Prabhupada said, yes. He said, Prabhupada, you talk about all these eagles? Yes. Dropping the babies into them? Yes. Prabhupada, should we believe this? Prabhupada said, what do you know? You're still in the womb of your mother. What do you know? You're still in the womb of your mother. Now, we wake up in the morning, we're like, when you wake up in the morning, you're in the womb of your mother. You don't even know where you are. I wake up in the morning, I don't even know what country I'm in sometimes. Am I in India? Am I in Australia? Sometimes I'm in India, I wake up in the morning, I think, oh, I'm in Australia. No, so I don't know. What do I know? So imperfect senses. Because you're an illusion, your senses must be imperfect. And you must admit it. Otherwise, you cannot make advancement in spiritual life. If you think you're perfect, your spiritual master, the senior Vaishnavas, cannot tell you anything. And if they can't tell you anything, how will you advance? So we have to be humble. That is called dainya. So then third, what is the third? Illusion, imperfect senses. If your senses are imperfect, right, Hare Baba, you will make mistakes. Guaranteed. Prabhupada says, to err is human. Even Srila Prabhupada, sometimes there were mistakes. Right? But if Prabhupada made a mistake, he would admit it. He said, that is human. Like sometimes Prabhupada would give lecture. Prabhupada said, what was that shloka? He cannot remember the shloka. What was that shloka? So someone said, and sometimes the disciples would question Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you're a pure devotee. How can you forget something? Prabhupada said, that is material. It has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. Just because someone cannot remember a shloka. As you get older, these things disappear. Like, I'm only 44, I'm only halfway home. You know, I'm only halfway. I'm not like, you know, old. But already it's starting to, you know, degenerate. Yeah, sometimes I'm giving class, you know, and I'm thinking, what is that shloka? I know that shloka. I've known that shloka for 20 years. But I can't think of the shloka. Right? It all disappears. It runs down. So that is material. That's got nothing to do with bhakti or devotion. So then, you're an illusion, your senses are imperfect, so you make mistakes, and then what is the fourth?
Cheating.
Because no one likes to be found that they made a mistake. What happens when you make a mistake? What do you do? Huh? Right, you cover it up. Right, you hide it from everyone, as much as you can. You make everyone, you don't want people to know that you made a mistake. Yeah, we all make mistakes. Now, if I tell you some of my mistakes, they're like really good ones. You know the reception? Just over here, we have a reception. That used to have thick white carpet. Thick, like white carpet in it. And one time I burned a big black mark in the thick white carpet. Not very good. My spiritual master was here. He gave class. And then after class, he went into the dining room. So I ran into the dining room to serve my guru. Right? And then he wanted toast, so I had the toast already, started making the toast. He came in with all the devotees, they all sat down, right? And then he turned around and he looked at me and he says, I don't want you popping in here. I don't want you making toast in here. Go and make toast somewhere else and bring it to me. I want to have breakfast with the devotees, I don't want some distraction like that. So he was very particular about things. So then I was, you know, new devotee, 1 or 2 years devotee, you know, spaced out, back to bliss. Hare Krishna, you know, like, yeah. So I pick up the toaster, run into the dining room, into the reception, put it down on the beautiful white carpet, you know, plug it in, make all the toast, run it in, give him hot toast, everything was perfect. He got up, went upstairs, you know, and then all the devotees left. And we did such a nice job, served the guru so nicely. And then I went in, I picked up the toaster, and a big black mark on the white carpet. So then, Aniruddha Prabhu, you know, and then what was my thought? I've got to cover this up. Cheat, because I've made a mistake. Right, that's what people do in the material, you don't want to be found out. So I thought, okay, we've got to move the, you know, the desk, which is there. But it was about 2 feet away from the desk, so I thought, well, that's not going to work. So then I thought, okay, we'll move the desk, cut the carpet, cut that carpet, and then change the carpet. I could tell you many stories. We used to do traveling Sankirtan, we did the same thing. We used to put pots on the carpet. So then we used to lift up the bed, cut the carpet, change it. Anyway, I could tell you many stories of things that we did. So anyway, then Aniruddha Prabhu found out. He was not happy, obviously. Right? He thought, who is this bhakta? You know. And then that night, you know, and I served my guru all day. I was in anxiety all day because I didn't want him to find out. He didn't find out all day. And at 9 o'clock at night, we're up there serving hot milk and puff rice, and he's having. And then Aniruddha Prabhu and him are sitting there. And then Aniruddha Prabhu says, Keshava did something today. Oh my God. And then, yeah, my guru is there, and he's just about to put the milk into his mouth, you know, the puff rice milk, and he goes, Keshava did something today. And he just went, he just looked at me, and he said, what? And I was just like, and then he looked down, and I looked at Aniruddha Prabhu, and I'm like, oh, but Aniruddha Prabhu had me where he wanted me. And my spiritual master was like a whole rasa going. It was quite. So my guru was looking. I was looking at Aniruddha. I was kind of trying not to smile, but I was smiling. Aniruddha was smiling. Then my guru would smile, and then he'd look at me serious. And then I'd be serious. And then he'd look down, and then we both started smiling again. It was a bit of a rasa going. Anyway, at the end of the whole thing, he stood up and he walked out, and he just stopped and he looked at me and he said, "Stupid." Because that's stupid. I mean, as if any. But bhakti, I mean, new devotees, we do these things every day. Mm-hmm. That's not good. not a good standard. So because we make mistakes, then we want to cheat. But Krishna won't let you get away with things, that's the point. You can try to cheat, but Krishna will let the whole temple know. You do something stupid, and then Krishna will reveal it so everyone knows, to make you humble. Because one thing we lack in this material world is humility. That's what the conditioned soul lacks. Right? The liberated souls, the Nitya Siddhas, they are humble. But the devotees in this world, that's the one thing that we struggle with, humility. Our humility is very superficial. Yeah, we do the superficial humility. I am nothing. I am just your servant. I am more than a worm and stool. It's all just words. I mean, why say it if you don't mean it? So we have to become really humble. So we are seeing here that the conditioned soul, he is having four defects. Now the Bhagavatam, the original point was, the Bhagavatam is speaking about events which go back into the beginning of this universe. We're talking about the very beginning of the universe. Just like we're giving the Sunday feast lecture at the farm last week. And one little girl, she's my niece, nearly like 7, 8 years old, small. Then she said, who was the first person in this universe? Because we've just had Easter. So at school they tell them the first person was Adam and Eve. So she knows. She has some Shraddha faith. So she said, is that the first people? I said, no, it's not exactly like that. I said, the first person is called? Who is the first one in this universe? And Brahma. Now, what do we have in common with Lord Brahma?
One second.
Huh?
One head.
What?
One head.
That's what we've got in common? Okay. Anything else we have in common with Lord Brahma? There are three things, right, that we all have in common with Lord Brahma. First thing is we are born into darkness. Right? When we are born, we have no idea where we came from. Right? Do you remember where you came from when you were born? Right? Can you remember the first 2 years of your life? Right? Most of us can't even remember the first 2 years. My first memory is when I'm 18 months old. That's my first memory, just like a small memory. And then it starts kind of, probably when I'm 3 or 4, that's when it starts coming together. And then you're 5 and 6, that's when you can remember things. And we're born in darkness. We can't even remember the first 2 years of our life. That's just darkness. So when Brahma is born, he just wakes up on a lotus flower. How would you feel? You just wake up alone in the dark on a lotus flower. You don't even know it's a lotus flower. He starts feeling around and he starts thinking, okay, it's a lotus flower. Right? And then he thinks, what is my origin? So that is something all of us, that's why we're all here today, right? Because all of us asked ourselves, what is our origin? Where did we come from? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you are human, right? You have to work out, where do they come from? That is our purpose. So each one of us is born in this world, and then what does Brahma do to find out who he is? Right, he goes down the lotus stem to try to discover what is his origin. Now, Prabhupada says in Canto 2, oh, we're in Canto 2 now, so Prabhupada says in Canto 2, he says that the stem is the Milky Way. Can you see the Milky Way at night time? Right, if you come to the farm, I'll show you the Milky Way. Probably haven't seen it for a while. A couple of nights ago, it was clear. The whole night was just clear. 2 or 3 nights ago. Beautiful night. So I could see the Milky Way. It kind of goes, travels. Where's it starting? It's kind of going south. It's kind of starting southeast. And it's going up to, it's kind of going northwest at the moment. It's kind of going like that. So southeast is like that way. So it's kind of wrapping like that at the moment. It's kind of moving across the sky. It changes, the direction of it changes summer and winter because the earth moves and it moves like that. So that is the lotus stem coming from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is navel to the top of the universe, to Brahmaloka, Satyaloka. So that is travelling. And the 14 planetary systems are within that Milky Way system. That is the 14 planetary systems as it goes up. So he wakes up and he climbs down, and then he gets halfway down and he thinks, where does it end? No? And it's like that in our life in the material world. We try to find the answer, but basically you think, where does it end? What is the answer? I can't work it out. And that's the defect of the conditioned soul. We try to work out the truth, right? And we can't work it out because we're limited. How can you work out the universe and life and everything with something which is this big? Right? How big is your brain? How much does it weigh, your brain?
Weight?
Yeah, what is the weight?
3 kilo.
What's it?
3 kilo.
Okay, that's it. That's if you've got a big one. Right? 3 kilo, which is not much. Like, our brain is not very big. How can you work out the universe and life and everything with something which is so small? But that's what everyone's trying to do, right? And what have they come up with so far? Right? Which scientist, right, after thinking about it for years and years and years, right, has written down that the absolute truth is a blue cowherd boy who holds a flute? Right? If you go to university, does any scientist say to you, I've worked out the absolute truth. It is a blue cowherd boy who holds a flute and lives on a place called Cow Planet. Goloka. Right? That's the absolute truth. Right? No one in you, because no one can work that out. You can't work that out with your tiny brain. Because we're in Maya. So then what do they work out? Right? They work out, it's okay, I've worked it all out. It was a big bang. Everyone relax. It's okay. I've worked out how everything happened. It was a big bang. But the explosion was slow. Because all explosions are slow. Right? Right? You put a whole lot of dynamite under your house and blow it up and it just goes. Right? And the scientists have told us with their perfect senses, it's gone all the way out and now it's just slowly coming back in. Of course it is. Of course it is. Yeah, because your little brain said that. Yeah, of course, we believe you. It must be. Right? Who was the most intelligent amongst all the scientists? What was his name?
Einstein.
Einstein. Right? He's the most intelligent. And what did he say? He said, we are children playing on the beach with sandcastles. We have no idea what is in the depths of the ocean. That's humility. Right? And he's the most intelligent out of all of them. He didn't say it was a slow explosion or. How can you prove that? Huh? Or what was the latest one they did a couple of years ago in Sweden? They spent $3 billion to find the God particle. Amazing, guys. Thank you so much for your contribution to humanity. You found the God particle. Wonderful. We already found the God particle. Right? It's called Paramatma. What did they do? They, you know, moved this thing around 15 kilometers of track underground, you know, the speed of light or whatever it was, and then smashed the atom, so then, and then Paramatma just went, yeah, check it out. Here I am. God, particle. But did they see that? No one writes down that. But they said, no, we found the God particle. Right, and after $3 billion, do you understand any more than what you understood before? Nothing. Has it changed anyone's life? No. Right? I'll tell you what the God particle is, what I've heard from my guru, and what we heard from his guru. Right? In disciplic succession, the God particle is Paramatma. Does that change your life? Yes, that changes your life. That God particle changes your life. This knowledge changes your life, but not this other knowledge, which doesn't do anything for you. Right? So Brahma goes down, gets halfway down, and after getting halfway down, he realizes, I don't know what this is all about, so he goes back up. Right? And then he sits there, and he says, I want to know. I want to know what this is all about. And that's what all of us, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, that is the purpose of life. You know, what is this about? So when you really are asking that question in your heart, then Krishna, he assists you. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev. Brahmanda Brahmite means you've been traveling around the universe for lifetimes. Right? Everyone likes to travel. Hands up if you like to travel. Yeah, well, you've been doing it for lifetimes. You just keep going around. Did you ever find the answer? No. But then Bhagyavana Jeev. Bhagyavana Jeev means you became fortunate. Right? How did you become fortunate? Guru, Krishna, Prasadhe Pai, Bhakti Lata Bija. You met Guru. How did you meet your Guru? How did you meet the Hare Krishna devotees? By the mercy of God. God arranged it for you. He arranges everything in our life. So just at the right time. How many times did that happen in your life? You look back in your life, how many times did everything happen just at the right time? That means there's someone interfering with our lives. Right? There's someone involved here. We're not alone. Right? There's someone making a mess of everything for us. Right? Every time you try to make everything perfect, he messes it up. That's his job. Right? And the whole time he just smiles at you. He just holds a flute and he just goes. You know, you look at him, you come into the temple and you pray to him and you say, "You wrecked my life." And he just goes. No problem. Right? You can't escape him. Right? He's trying to bring us back to him. That is the point. So, Lord Brahma, he was at the bottom of the universe. He came back to the top. He was trying to understand, what is my point? What is my purpose? And then he worked in this verse, and this is very significant, this section of the Bhagavatam. He heard these two syllables. Tapa. Where was the noise coming from? The water. Where was the water? Yeah, at the bottom of the lotus. At the bottom of the lotus stem, which is coming from the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Right, there's water in that navel. The navel is huge. I mean, the Lord's body is huge. The Lord is lying down in this universe. So the universe is something like 311 trillion miles across or something. There's some amazing amount. So his body is that big. He's laying down in the bottom of the universe. And in his navel there is water. And the water is moving. Just like the waves are moving in the ocean. And slapping onto the side of the lotus stem. Softly, the waves go. Tapa, tapa, tapa. Like that. And then he heard that sound. Tapa. He's in the dark. He's in the beginning of the universe on top of a lotus flower. Doesn't know what his purpose is. And then he hears tapa. What does tapa mean? What does it mean in Sanskrit if we break it down? What is the meaning? Tapa. It means heat. Heat. That is one definition of the word. Heat. Right? We say tapasya. From tapa comes? Tapasya. Tapasya means?
Austerity.
Austerity means? You have to put some effort in. Austerity is something... when you want to get something done, there has to be some heat. Just like if you want to cook, you have to turn the flame on. Otherwise it doesn't cook. It doesn't happen. Same in spiritual life. And until you put some effort into your spiritual life, it doesn't happen. You don't go back to Godhead automatically. You have to get up in the morning. You have to go to Mangalati. If you're not at Mangalati, how will you advance in Krishna consciousness? You have to put some effort in. That means there has to be some heat. Right? Some, just like in ISKCON, we have this saying, you have to get fired up. Devotees say, "You're fired up." Or, "Let's get fired up." Do they still say that in this country? They still say it? Yeah, but when I joined, that was like the mantra. Everything. Fired up. We're fired up. Let's get fired up. And what it means is some type of shit. Right? Some heat. Right? Let's put some energy into this. Let's put some effort into this. Let's advance in our Krishna consciousness. Because to do anything in this world requires energy. It requires discipline. If you want to get a job, Do you have to put some energy into it? Right? You can't just go and get a job, especially these days. Right? You want to get a job, you have to put energy into it, effort. Right? So all that effort you could be putting into spiritual life. Right? This is the problem with the modern world. They're putting all this effort into something which doesn't go anywhere. Where you can put the same effort into spiritual life and you can get to Krishna. So the goal of our life is to put in some tapasya. So when Lord Brahma heard these two words, then he thought, okay, now I have to do tapasya. Tapasya means austerity. It means I have to focus. So what did he do? He began to meditate. And what did he meditate upon? Divine Saraswati. Saraswati from the spiritual world, not from this world. There's another Saraswati who was his wife actually. But divine Saraswati, she entered into this universe and she initiated him. And she gave him the Gopal Gayatri Mantra, which is for those who chant Gayatri, who have Brahman initiation. It is the sixth mantra, the Gopal Gayatri Mantra. So she chanted that, Lord Brahma heard that, and then he meditated upon that for a long time. So if you want to become perfect in Krishna consciousness, hands up if you want to become perfect in Krishna consciousness. Hands up if you want to become a pure devotee. Hands up if you want to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Amen. Amen, brothers. Amen, sisters. Right? This is what we're here for. You want to become perfect in this lifetime, not in the next lifetime. Don't wait for the next lifetime. Do it in this lifetime. It is possible. Right? But it takes time. It doesn't happen quickly. Lord Brahma had to meditate for a long time on his mantra. So that means we have to meditate for a long time on our mantra. It takes time to perfect the mantra. You have to put tapasya, you have to put effort into the mantra. Otherwise you don't get the result of the mantra. The Hare Krishna mantra does not come to life until you put effort into the chanting. Krishna reciprocates unlimitedly. You can get unlimited bliss from the mantra. There is unlimited bliss within the mantra. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Right? Rasa Vigraha. Rasa means mellow. Rasa means juice. Just like we have, what are those sweets called that we have for breakfast? Ras Malai or Ras Gula. What's it like just having a gula? If you just get gula for breakfast, not ras gula, if no one puts the ras, the sugar syrup, what is that like? Dry curd. Right, so it's not the same. You need the rasa. Flavor, right? Life itself, flavor, pleasure comes from rasa. Right? If there's no juice in the vegetables, there's no pleasure. Right? If there's no juice in the fruit, there's no pleasure. Right? If there's no juice in the prasadam, there's no pleasure. You know, if you get a piece of bread and you leave it there for 2 days and it gets dry and then you eat it, there's no pleasure. Right? You can eat it because you're hungry, but there's no pleasure. Right? When there's something, you know, it's like, you know, if you eat a pakora, you need chutney. Chutney is rasa, it's juice. Right? In the dry pakora, that's okay, but when you put the juice, you dip it in the chutney, different chutneys, two or three different chutneys, and you can just put it in. That's when the real pleasure comes. Right? So rasa, vigraha. The holy name is full of rasa. But you have to extract that rasa. When you join the Hare Krishna movement, Lord Krishna gives you spurti. What does spurti mean? Yeah, taste. It means, in this sense, spurti means you get this ball of bliss drops on your head. You know, when you join the movement, you know, the first 6 months, first 12 months, this ball of bliss just drops on your head. Spurti. That is coming from Krishna himself. Because he wants to attract you away from Maya. Otherwise, you won't leave Maya. So he gives you too much bliss in the beginning. You see the new devotees walking around. Right? Some of them have still got it. There's some of them are going like, I've never seen them go that far. They're still walking around like, you know, everything's just harinam. Everything's just prasadam. Everything's just nectar. Like they just walk out in bliss, right? Because that's what Krishna gives you in the beginning. And it's Krishna, it's not you. Krishna's giving it to you because he wants to bring you to him. But after some time, he's spoon-feeding you. He's putting all the prasad in your mouth. But after some time, he puts the ball down and says, now you do it. Right? Now you've got to start feeding yourself. Right? You've got to put some effort in. So in the beginning, Krishna helps you. Right? But later on, he wants to see you grow up, become mature, right? And extract the taste from the holy name. Right? So you have to put effort in. So Lord Brahma, he put effort into his mantra. So much effort into his mantra, what happened? Huh? Yeah, he saw Krishna. He saw God. Why are we chanting Hare Krishna every day? So we can see Krishna. Right? Has anyone seen Krishna yet? Right? So we're not perfect yet. But that is the whole point of the chanting, to see Krishna. One day Krishna, you'll be chanting, and Krishna will appear in front of you. Then what will you do? You better be ready. Right. So this is the whole point of the chanting, is to realize Krishna. Lord Brahma, he chanted for a long time, perfectly and sincerely, and then what happened? Krishna, manifest. And then what did Krishna do? He played his flute, and then the sound of his flute, came the seventh mantra, which is called the Kam Gayatri mantra. And then Lord Brahma heard that mantra. Right? And then he saw all of Goloka. Right? Everything appeared before him. Goloka Vrindavan appeared before him. So this is what we have in common with Lord Brahma. First thing we have in common, all of us are born in ignorance. Second thing we have in common, we have to perform tapasya. Rishabhdev says this, tapo divyam, right? Tapasya. You have to do some austerity. And the third thing is that our goal is enlightenment. That's what we're aiming for. Now Rishabhdev says, tapo divyam. Tapa means austerity, but it must be transcendental. Or in other words, your austerity must be for the pleasure of Krishna. Because a lot of people do austerity for themselves. But that's not the point of austerity. The point of austerity is this giving Krishna pleasure? Now, what is the greatest austerity that we can perform in ISKCON?
Regulated principles.
What's that?
Four regulated principles of chanting.
Yeah, that's the beginning, yeah. The beginning is four regulative principles, not three, or not two and a half, or not one and a quarter, like that. But it's four regulative principles. That's austere. That is austere. In Kali Yuga, that's not easy. To do that your whole life in Kali Yuga, that's not an easy thing. That's austerity. People think we're crazy. You don't have sex. You don't eat meat. What do you do? Some guy has said to me, Christian actually. He's a Christian. Supposed to be following Jesus and everything. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meeting. What do you do? The guy said to me, he said, what do you do? And that's a big austerity in Kali Yuga. So that's the beginning. But the main austerity we do is preaching. Because right? That's austere. That takes work. Right? It's actually blissful. It's like drinking hot sugarcane juice. Right? Or it's like having a really good chutney. Too hot to handle, too sweet to resist. They should put that, write that on the wall and outside of the Melbourne Temple. Too hot to handle, too sweet to resist. I walked in here 25 years ago, I thought I was going to be peaceful. I walked in here and then I haven't been peaceful yet. Yeah. I keep saying I shouldn't become a Buddhist. Should just shave my head, put on Buddhist robes and just, whatever they do, I don't know. You walk in this place, it's hot. It's like hot chutney. It's like, you put it in, oh my God. You wake up. Right? But it's so nice. Oh, I can't stop eating it. It's burning me, but I can't stop eating it. That's Krishna consciousness. Right? Prabhupada said, I like to see my disciples struggle. That's why he gave all these big projects. He said, just to engage you. So that's what Prabhupada is doing. To purify us. Preaching is our austerity. I told that story, I've told it a number of times, but I told it recently also. You know, when Prabhupada got the land in Mayapur, if you go to Mayapur now, the huge temple is being built, there's so much facility. But when Prabhupada was there, it was just that one hut at the front of the property. And Prabhupada was in the hut. And Prabhupada had one half, and his disciples had the other half. And Prabhupada would wake up, everyone would go to bed about 9 or 10. Or Prabhupada would go to bed about, say, 10:30. And then Prabhupada would get up at 12:30 and start translating when everyone else was asleep. And my spiritual master, he was sleeping outside because it was hot. So he was sleeping outside and he was snoring. So then someone, he woke up in the dark, someone was kicking him. So how do you feel when you wake up and someone's kicking you? Right? And he looked up and it was Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was, he said, you are snoring. And my guru Maharaj just woke up. And he looked at Prabhupada and said, I was not snoring. Prabhupada said, you were snoring. Go and sleep somewhere else. And Prabhupada walked back in to continue his translation. Tomorrow Krishna has got up in the dark. And just walked into the dark. Right? And he had three places to sleep. It was steel, pile of rocks, or pile of sand. Because they're building all the buildings. There's steel, rocks, and sand. So he chose the sand. Just lay down on the sand and went to sleep. Tapasya. Austerity. And Prabhupada was pushing everyone. You know, joining the Hare Krishna movement now, it's easy. You know, you've got a beautiful temple. You know, devotees have to go through so much struggle to get this temple. Work so hard to get this. And now we just come here and there's so much prasadam. And you know, we're spoiled now. And even now we have so much facility, but we still complain. Oh, it is so difficult. Oh, I don't know if I can be a Hare Krishna devotee. It is so difficult. I only get 6 rascals for breakfast. There's not enough avocado for the toast. Like, not very good. Not a very good mentality. The austerity has been done. A lot of austerity. A lot of austerity to keep this movement going. But we're given so much facility now. So we should be very grateful. I said to my Guru Maharaj, we went for a walk. My spiritual master and I were walking, actually just down here in front of the temple. And I'd only been a devotee about 2 years. And he was saying to me, you know, how's it going? I was in a difficult situation at the time. They sent me to another temple. They sent me away from Melbourne for a year. And it was austere. It was only a few devotees and I had a lot of service. And I was saying to him, oh, this is difficult and that is difficult and you know, this is it, you know, how's it going? I said, oh, it's like this, it's like that. And he just stopped me. He said, you should just be grateful that Krishna has given you shelter. So we should be grateful as devotees. Krishna has given us shelter. We should take shelter of Krishna, be very grateful. And whatever Krishna asks us to do, we just do that. And at the end of our life, if anything is lacking, Krishna will just cover it all and take us back to spiritual. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments. What we have discussed.
I was wondering what is the Spartious syllabus and how it is linked with the 16th syllabus that created the renounced order of the life.
I have no idea. You know, Gopal? It's just talking about the alphabet. The alphabet has different sounds. The Vedic alphabet. So it's just, there's two divisions. It's like vowels and consonants or something like that. So divisions of them. How it relates to the renounced order of life? Because when you put those two syllables together, tapa, that is what renunciation is based upon. If you are a brahmana or a brahmachari or a vanaprastha or a sannyasi, your duty is to practice austerity. You have to be austere. Control the senses. Control the mind, control the senses. Is that okay?
It is 16 to 100 star. And 100 star. Basically, you can start from.
It says it's the Vedic alphabet, or the Vedic system of sound or speech. Any other point?
Why is it very, devotees complain, it's very difficult to do service, how to fire up, do it jolly, you know, happily?
What do you do with the devotees? They find the service very austere and they're not jolly, they're not happy.
Mm.
What do we do?
Try to...
To make them happy and jolly and enthusiastic.
Advice them nicely, is what's good for them.
What do we do to help them?
Tell good things about Krishna. What good is there by doing the service, you know?
What good is there for us to do all this austerity? Is that what are you asking exactly?
Why is it we find it so difficult to do service, Krishna?
Us or other people?
Us, yeah.
Why do we find it so difficult?
Yeah, devotees.
Because we lack taste. We're lacking taste.
So how to encourage them?
Encourage them or encourage us?
Encourage ourselves, you know, to do that service nicely.
With enthusiasm. Because there's nothing else to do. You have to be enthusiastic. What's your alternative? Your alternative is to go back to the material world. Right? I told this story a while ago that I was living in the ashram down here where the men lived for 8 years. I was in the end room. I think you guys were down there. So I used to be me and Atul. We were down there for a long time. I could tell many stories. So I was down there, so staying in that room. And then I was having a difficulty with one senior devotee in the temple. He was difficult. So I became a bit despondent. And when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, I said to myself, when I joined, I will never leave. So then I was there, and I was very upset because this the way this devotee was dealing with me. So I was so upset, I took off my neck beads, I put them on the shelf, and I got out the window. And I thought, I can't be bothered with this. And then I got out the window, and then I was in the material world. Right? And then I got there, and I thought, what am I going to do? So I got back in the window, I put on my neck beads and I took rest. And then I woke up later and then I thought, well, it's not such a big deal anyway. And then I just kept doing my service and now I'm still here. So what's your alternative? Right? Either stay here and be enthusiastic or go into the material world and have fun. Because right? There's heaps of fun in the material world. Right? Go out there and get into Maya. And right? She'll kick you around and then you'll come back anyway. So what's the point? So if you're going to do this, do it enthusiastically. No one wants to see, you know, my mother used to say to me when I was a kid, you know, if I'm upset, right, then my lip always comes out, you know, because, you know, when kids are upset, like that. Right, my mother said, I don't want to see that lip. Like that. In other words, she taught me, if you're going to do something, do it properly. Don't go walk around like a, sometimes see devotees walk around like a, it's like, what's the point? Like, either get into this or just go somewhere else. Become a Buddhist and go and enjoy yourself. Right? Or go to Luna Park or something. You know, go and do whatever it is you're going to do. Go and have fun in the material world. Does that answer your question? Sorry. You look more confused than when I was saying so. Maybe it wasn't very good.
A lot of devotees always asking this question, you know.
Asking what?
So how to pacify them, that's very funny.
What do they want? What do they want?
They say it's too difficult to do the service.
Then go and do something else. You think it's easy in the material world?
They want to do it easier way.
There isn't an easy way. There isn't an easy way. There's no easy way. Material world, what's the definition of the material world? Durga. Durga means prison house. It's hard going. Is anything easy in this world? Nothing's easy. Right? If I want to move this cup from here to here, it's not easy. Well, it is. Right? But when I'm old, right, then that will become difficult just to do that. You know, oh, my back's hurting. so they go, oh, I can't move. But, you know, that's the material world. It's meant for difficulty. So the whole point, this is what this purport, and we tried to speak a little bit, and this is what this purport is saying. Either you do the austerity for Krishna or you do it for Maya. It's the same thing. But when you do this, you become blissful. You become ecstatic. Devotees look ecstatic. They should look ecstatic. If they don't look ecstatic, it means there's something wrong going on in the mind. It means the mentality is not correct. Prabhupada says in Upadeshamrita, in Nectar of Instruction, he says, spiritual life is based upon the attitude of the performer. Right? It's our attitude which counts. You can do the same. You can sweep the floor and be all morose and all mental, or you can sweep the floor enthusiastically for Krishna. Because Krishna is asking you to do it. The guru is asking you to do it. The devotees are asking you to do it. Does that give any clarification? So sometimes, you know, I mean, we counsel devotees. Sometimes devotees come and they say, oh, I don't feel enthusiastic. So you have to sit there with them and you have to go. They say, I don't feel enthusiastic. You know, I'm really struggling. And you have to sit there and you go, oh, yeah, okay. Okay. And you have to spend time with them. But after some time, you know, after 5 weeks, they just keep saying, yeah, you sit there and they say, oh, I'm not feeling enthusiastic. I'm struggling. And you just have to pick up a stick and say, listen, either you get yourself together, right? Sometimes you just have to put some pressure. So we help the devotees, but after some point in time, it's just the mind anyway. Just come on. Right? This world is suffering. Cows are being slaughtered every day. What are we doing about it? Right? Humanity is suffering. Right? So we can sit here and get mental, or we can go out and try to change the world. So what should we do? Right? So make your choice. You join the army. Now you're in the army. Right? Act like a soldier. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other points?
Maybe my stupid question.
Speak up.
But how we keep enthusiasm if we do service which we don't like, or, you know, there are any possibilities for us? Okay.
Prabhupada, he wanted the devotees to do service that they enjoyed. So Prabhupada says in Gita, there are three types of service. Right? There is regular service. I can't remember the words. What does he use? He says capricious, emergency, and he says regular. Is that what he says?
Routine.
Yeah. Routine, capricious, and emergency. So regular service is what we do every day. Routine service. Right? But that should be the service that devotees like. Right? We shouldn't be doing a service that we don't enjoy. We should be doing, and Prabhupada was like that. He wanted the devotees to do the service they enjoy doing. But then there's the other two, right? One is capricious. Now, capricious means just do whatever you want to do, right? The devotees say, oh, I want you to do that, but then you go off and do that. That's not good, right? And the other one is emergency. So emergency means, okay, you want to do a particular service, you're good at a particular thing, but at the moment we don't have enough devotees, we want you to do another service for a period of time. But that should not go on forever and ever, right? The emergency has to stop. You can't live on emergency mode for years and years and years. So it's good devotees should do the service that they like to do, but sometimes you have to compromise. But then if you're feeling like, you know, you've been doing it for some time, and then you have to go to your authorities and say, you know, I don't feel like I can keep doing this for years on end, so can you please help me make adjustment? Is that okay? Any other questions?
Can't come with material motives to ISKCON.
you can come with material modesty, kind of many do, and we can continue like that for a long time, but it's not going to take you to Krishna. So it has to be purified, that propensity. What's that? Yeah, it's better than working for Maya. I mean, unless you're cheating and unless you're in the spiritual society, but it won't take you back to Krishna. So we have to purify ourselves. Yeah, it means that in devotional service, you always have to push yourself. Never stay in a comfort zone. Because if you stay in the comfort zone, you don't progress. But then what happens is devotees push themselves too much, and then they have problems. So we have to learn in devotional service just to push ourselves always out of our comfort zone. Never stay in your comfort zone. Always go out, but not too much that you cause problems for yourself. But at least always be pushing yourself. And then you become purified of your material desires and attachments. Otherwise, if you just stay comfortable, you don't get purified. You can cheat Krishna for a long time, but you don't get Krishna. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki?
No.